Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. How important is loyalty to you? Loyalty is important enough to businesses to create loyalty programs to retain current customers. Airlines have frequent flyer programs where customers can earn points and trade those in for flights. You can find similar programs with hotels and car rental agencies as well. Many credit cards have loyalty perks built into them. You might get cash back on a purchase or even earn points for some future reward. In politics and business, loyalty is a huge asset. Politicians seek to gather around them their most loyal supporters, and in business, coworkers who are loyal won't try to undermine your work so they can look better with the boss. In life, while there are many people who will surround us, very few will have that quality of loyalty. In American politics, one outgoing U.S. president advised the next that if he wanted a friend in Washington, D.C., to get a dog. And for many, dogs are loyal companion animals. Beyond everyday life for you and me, loyalty is shown in the Bible, and it is shown to be part of love. When you think of Christian salvation with eternal life as the gift, our faith comes with the most incredible loyalty program membership perk. But in reality, it is much, much more than just a membership program perk. Other terms than loyalty are used in the Bible, but the concept is clearly shown. We'll begin today by considering the story of Ruth, who, when given the opportunity to return to her people, remained loyal to her mother-in-law. Ruth, a foreigner, had every reason to stay with her people, and yet remained loyal to her mother-in-law, Naomi. The family had traveled to Moab because there was a famine in the land. Soon after arriving in Moab, Elimelech died, and Naomi was in Moab with her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. The sons married local girls, one named Orpah and the other named Ruth. Tragedy would strike twice more in 10 years, and both sons would also die. Naomi decided to return to Israel because she had heard the famine in Israel was now over, and she encouraged her daughters-in-law to remain in Moab so they could be close to their families. Both became emotional at the thought of never seeing Naomi again. Orpah returned to her family, and Ruth decided to stay with Naomi, declaring her loyalty to Naomi by saying, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." Ruth 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me." The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters, why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons. Would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much more for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. David, as a younger man, found himself in a tricky place. He knew he was God's chosen to be king, and yet held fierce loyalty to King Saul, even knowing that Saul had on many occasions sought harm to come to David. What type of loyalty could you have to a person who seeks to bring harm to you? I can think of very few people who would maintain loyalty, yet David did. David came across Saul when Saul was chasing David in the wilderness of En-Gedi. When Saul was in a cave going to the bathroom, David snuck into the cave and cut off a portion of Saul's robe. And this bothered David because he realized Saul was still allowed by God to be king. In the end, it was David's loyalty to God that stopped him from taking the life of Saul. Given the opportunity to remove from a position of authority in your life a person who sought your destruction, could you have the same type of loyalty to God as David had? 1 Samuel 24, verse 1. And it came to pass, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privately. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, My Lord the King. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how the Lord had delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave. And some bade me kill thee, but mine eye spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for for he is the Lord's anointed. David's loyalty to God prevented him from taking the life of a person who wanted him dead. An incredible act of faith. Jesus touched on loyalty when he spoke of the love we are to have for each other based on keeping the commandments of Jesus as Jesus kept the commandments of the Father. Jesus explained that a person has no greater love than when they lay down their life for their friends. And Jesus maintained his love to us by keeping the commandments of the Father so that we could have eternal life. All love includes loyalty. There is no type of love that does not include loyalty to some degree. In combat situations, soldiers have said that when it comes to fighting the enemy, it is the soldier next to them that they fight for. Ultimately, the soldier fights out of love and loyalty for the person fighting next to them. The brotherly love that Jesus commands of us includes loyalty to each other. The love that we have for God the Father and Jesus Christ will always exceed the loyalty and love we have for each other. John 15, verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. During his earthly ministry, Jesus had huge crowds, what today we would call groupies, following him. Jesus explained that the love and by default loyalty that we have for each other must be less than the love and loyalty we have for Jesus Christ. In our minds, we must decide that nothing will come between us, Jesus Christ, and God the Father. Luke 14, verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build, and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he was able with 10,000 to meet him that come against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage, and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, cannot be my disciple. Our love and loyalty to Jesus Christ and God the Father cannot be limited by what we need in our lives. Jesus promised that God knows our needs, and showing loyalty and love to us will provide for our needs before we even ask. Jesus cautions us that our love and loyalty to others is never to be based on obtaining a good public perception. When we act in love and loyalty to others through acts of kindness, it is something we do for the other person without any expectation of any type of recognition. Jesus taught that our prayer to God through love and loyalty includes a recognition that God provides for us. He also taught we ask forgiveness as we forgive others. When we lack love and loyalty to others and are unwilling or unable for whatever reason to forgive others, we are not to expect forgiveness from God. Matthew 6, verse 1. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into the closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Jesus taught that we are not to make a public spectacle of ourselves in our acts of love and loyalty to God the Father and Jesus Christ. He also taught that we cannot confuse where our loyalty lays. For instance, we cannot pretend to worship God the Father with salvation through Jesus Christ through acts of loyalty and love, when in reality our loyalty is to money and power on earth. Jesus teaches that loyalty cannot be divided. We cannot have loyalty to competing interests. In the business and government world, those are called conflicts of interest. We cannot have loyalty to similar or complementary interests to the same degree. We must have greater loyalty to one interest to be successful. When Jesus said earlier in Luke that if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple, the Greek indicates that our love and loyalty to our human family must be less than our love and loyalty to Jesus Christ and God the Father. Both are similar and complementary interests of family and relationships. The family and relationship we have with Jesus Christ and God the Father must take precedence. Jesus taught we value our priorities. Verse 16. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thine whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Our love and loyalty cannot be divided, nor can we equally serve similar and complementary interests. With that in mind, we are again reminded that God the Father will provide our needs. Instead of worry about these needs, we instead need to focus first on the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and God will provide our needs. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Loyalty and love are biblical themes with spiritual realities. There is also the person-to-person side of love and loyalty that for us must always be less than the love we have for Jesus Christ and God the Father. We will never do anything for another person that would not show loyalty and love to Jesus Christ and God the Father. The reality is, for most people, they as a person are insignificant, and they must come bearing gifts to establish a relationship. It is very rare to find people who do not need these external motivators. And the rarest of all is a friend who is so close, the person is almost like a member of your own family. Proverbs 18, verse 16. A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. The lot causeth contentions to cease and parteth between the mighty. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. The poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Loyalty is similar to faithfulness, and faithfulness is another word that Strong's Hebrew word number 571 in myth can be translated as. In Proverbs 3, it is translated as truth. In this chapter, we are told not to let mercy and truth forsake us. This passage could also be translated as mercy and faithfulness, mercy and loyalty. Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Lack of loyalty causes problems for people, especially when they lack loyalty to God. God writes of this in Psalm 78, where he implores people to praise God and establish a God-fearing society, not forgetting the commandments of God instead of being like previous generations whose spirit was not steadfast or lacked loyalty to God. Psalm 78, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forsake the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. When we lack loyalty to God, we need to ask ourselves where our loyalty lies. If we are not for God and Jesus Christ, we are against them. We are with the adversary, Satan the devil. Part of our loyalty to God the Father includes our lifestyle. We know, for instance, that our sins are forgiven through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Paul asked a rhetorical question if we should continue in sin that grace may abound. When we choose to live a lifestyle of sin, we choose to live a life with divided loyalties. Paul tells us that we are to consider, think on, act in a manner consistent with that we are dead to sin. The lifestyle and choices that we see so many in the world around us making needs to be dead to us. Our loyalty is not to the lifestyle of this world, but to our calling and Jesus Christ and God the Father, knowing that we have this gift of eternal life that was highlighted for us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We need to consider that we are alive to God through Jesus Christ. Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Similarly, in our human life, we cannot use past forgiveness of workplace problems as a reason to continue in those same workplace problems. Just like we are to be dead to sin, we need to be dead to bad workplace practices. To the Galatians, Paul wrote a letter that gave a comparison between the life of sin and the life of the Spirit. Understanding love and loyalty, we cannot have divided loyalties by committing acts of adultery while also having love towards God and Jesus Christ. We cannot hate others for their success and jealously guard what we have while at the same time having peace and goodness. We cannot be living a life that is divided where we are like the story of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. We are to live a life where our life is given to God the Father and Jesus Christ through an act of love and loyalty, where the fruit of the Spirit grows abundantly and is punctuated with love, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, a realistic self-view, and an ability to self-moderate. It is when we do these things that we walk in the Spirit, and as we walk in the Spirit, we give no place to the works of the flesh. Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, they that which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Once we have the Holy Spirit, there is no return permitted. In some stores, all sales are final, and so it is with God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Once we have the Holy Spirit, we cannot give back the Holy Spirit and return to a lifestyle of sin as if we never knew God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. We must continue to grow and develop the fruit of the Spirit, knowing in so doing we show love and loyalty to God the Father and Jesus Christ. We are not allowed at any time to act in this disloyal manner, because it would make us no different than Satan, who also committed an act of disloyalty, acting without love. Any person who walks away from the Holy Spirit becomes the adversary, part of Team Satan, and will be consumed in fire. Instead, even in the most difficult of times, we are to continue with the will of God in great confidence, knowing that through faith we will be saved. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified, an holy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourself that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Loyalty is a small part of love. To some degree, all love includes some elements of loyalty. It is love that conquers all and never fails. It is love that rejoices in truth, and truth is closely related to loyalty. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail, whether there be tongues, they shall cease, whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. And now abide faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Loyalty and love are woven into the tapestry of the Bible. In the Old Testament, we see examples, Ruth and David, who showed extreme loyalty. We see from Jesus how our loyalties cannot be divided because love cannot be divided. We know we will always love God the Father and Jesus Christ first by seeking the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. We know we will live a life where the fruit of the Spirit grows in our life. And we know we will never return to the life of sin we had before our calling. We will endure to the end and be saved. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.